Good morning, everyone. Hi. Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord on this cloudy Sunday morning, but it is the beginning of Advent, and so we praise God for this season which we find ourselves in. To end Sunday school, we have the guys up here for their memory verses, and I believe Liam has a birthday this week. Is that right?
In five days,
he's going to be seven, so happy birthday to Liam, and look forward to hearing your verses. Thanks, guys. We wanted to share any announcements that we have here this morning. You'll see many of these on the back of your bulletin. Yes.
Poinsettias are coming on Friday. We're going to put them in the windows, and we're going to do the cards. And if you want a poinsettia, just pick one out and put the name on the card and who it's in memory of, and leave a donation because they do cost us money to put, you know, to get the poinsettias.
Okay, great. Thank you. Flowers are coming, and you can designate them for someone in memory or in honor of someone. And Jerry, thanks so much for the decorations.
Well, I had help with Debbie and Mom this year, so I give them help.
Great.
And Dad and Larry got the outside done, my brother Larry, so.
Wonderful. It looks wonderful. We appreciate your efforts for us. Get us into the Christmas season and into the Christmas mood. And I have an announcement here about the December the 11th, the event over at the Fire Hall, the Christmas Bazaar. You're encouraged to come out and help. And these are some of the folks that will be there so far. Hanson Creek Creations, Heavenly Kiss Creations, ABC Creations, Simply Sumner Boutique, Jordan Essentials, Stamping Up, Epicure, Shabby Shed Creations, Vintage Treasures, Hatched Home Decor, and Harmony Woodcraft are some of the vendors that will be there that so far. And also donations are needed for the bake table, so if you'd like to give something like that, help out our ladies, the Ladies Aid will have a bake table there on December the 11th. The time is from 1 to 5. I'll post this on the bulletin board in there in the back. Any other announcements? Let's begin our worship with this prelude. Guys, thanks for your help today. Brother. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 25. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We begin Advent today, and I believe we have someone here that's going to share with the lighting of the Advent candle. Is that you, Deb?
Well, that's a good group. Somebody's going to have to light it.
Okay. All right, so we have the lighting here of the first candle.
Please use the microphone.
Aye, aye.
Today we light the hope candle. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40:31. Hope looks to God and waits on Him with a firm expectation that He will fulfill His promise. Allied with hope are the ideas of faith and patience, endurance and trust, of joy and a settled peace that God will do what He says He will do. Israel had been beaten down by a successor of world powers, Babylon, Persia, the Greeks, and now Rome. In their distress, they call out, "Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel." Yet in the cry, there is hope, a strong expectation that God will keep His promise to send a Messiah, a deliverer. The hope is fulfilled on the first Christmas day when Jesus is born in Bethlehem, God's Savior sent to planet Earth to save us from our sins and deliver us from whatever oppresses us. People live in hope of one who can help them. Jesus is that person, present today by the Holy Spirit, to deliver us from any need. He is the one we hope for. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for sending Jesus into our world, our hope of glory, our blessed hope of resurrection and eternal life. In His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sister. All right, let us stand and join together in singing number 93. We always want to take time to share together the news in the community as well as what's on our hearts. And so I'm going to ask if you have a joy or a concern that you'd like to share, something we want to pray about. Yes. Others? Yes. Okay, sure. Prayers for the Shuff family and for the Smith family. Jeff's dad's funeral is tomorrow at 11 at Stauffer's. Yes, Dolores? Okay, he's in the Air Force. Okay. It's hard to be away from family over the holidays. Yes, Frank.
Yeah, we'd like to keep our grandson and his girlfriend in our prayers. They've been up over Thanksgiving, and be traveling back down to Florida where they live.
Okay.
They'll be leaving today. If I keep them in our prayers, they'll have a safe journey back.
Okay. Over here. Yes.
Well, continue Ricky and Jenny and Alan on the prayer list and all the others that's suffering the illness.
Will do. Thank you. And so, Judy?
I like to keep Curtis family on the prayers. He's a nephew of mine, and he's been really down in Baltimore with COVID that they could not be made for.
First name is Curtis. Okay, thank you. And Danny? Wonderful. All right. Any others?
I'd just like to keep my my list of unspoken. And a joy, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to thank Mom and Debbie, Dad, and everybody for helping get the church together this week for the start Advent. It's a lot to do in 1 week when you got Thanksgiving in there.
Yes.
You got to mix it all up with your work and everything else. So I appreciate all their help.
It looks great. Praise God. Yes, thank you.
I've got a joy this week. My son
doesn't
expect a baby
boy
in
May.
So we're really
excited. Wonderful. Good day. Okay, we also are having an anniversary. December 1st is our 32nd anniversary. So we're hoping to go to Williamsburg overnight. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the events of the past week and the blessings of Thanksgiving. You have so given us so much bounty, Lord. We have health and family and friends. And Lord, we just are overwhelmed at your goodness. We pause again just to say thank you, Lord. And we thank you for this Advent season, which we begin today. We are grateful, Lord, for this season of joy and celebration, and your first Advent, your incarnation. And we look forward to, with great anticipation, your second coming, your second advent. Lord, we are mindful of those that are in need around us and in our families. And you've heard the names that have been lifted here this morning. Others that we have been praying and thinking about, Lord, we pray you would move in a mighty way. I ask, Lord, you would comfort those who are sad, be with the Jeff and his family as they put to rest their father. Lord, we pray that you would comfort those who have lost loved ones who have been sick. And we think of those who are struggling with COVID and other problems and are in the hospital, Lord. We pray for your hand of healing to be upon them. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of family, and we pray for traveling mercies. We pray, Lord, you would help those that will not be able to come home for Christmas. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to move. Use medications and treatments and doctors and all that is available to us to help and speed the recovery and healing and wholeness. We think of those that are on our list, Lord, that we've been praying for maybe for a long time. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. Put the right people in their paths. We pray that you would accomplish your will. Thank you, Lord, that you've promised to do all things for our good. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless. Thank you, Lord, for a new life that's coming. Thank you, Lord, for the babe in Bethlehem. Hear our prayers, Lord. We ask you would help us not to worry, but to put it all in your hands. Instead of worry, as Dr. David Jeremiah said, we should worship. And so we worship you this day. We praise your holy name. Teach us to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second hymn here today is number 81. I invite you to turn to that. Join me in standing as we sing. The scripture for today comes from the prophet Isaiah, beginning of the second chapter. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we pray that you would move now by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would take these words from centuries ago and show us, Lord, what you'd want us to learn from today. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds indeed would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer, our coming Lord. We pray in his name. Amen. It seemed like we were on an adventure. It was a top mountaintop experience. Passing the moose tree, we continued on, watching for the markings of the path, and suddenly the path led up the mountain, very steep at first, and then leveling off. We continued to follow the path, not to get lost, and arrive at our destination. Our goal was Vesper Hill. On the crest of the mountain, we gratefully found a seat. The weary campers settled around the rustic logs that made up the outdoor amphitheater, settling in to watch the show. It was God painting, another masterpiece at the end of the day, as the colors of Mother Nature were flung brilliantly across the canvas of the horizon with the setting of the sun. In song, in prayer, and then in silence, we watched, we waited, and we were amazed at another day's ending at Camp Ader near Fairfield, Pennsylvania. As it began to get dark, we started down the path, heading back, depending now very much on our leader, as the shadows cast, kind of hiding some of the path. And so we brought out our flashlights. Some were brighter than others, some exhausting their energy and of their batteries and becoming dim, and then finally going out as it got darker and darker. In the blackness, a sense of seriousness began to come over us as a group. We knew that we needed to stay together. We needed to trust the path. We needed to trust our leader, and hopefully our lights would show us the way back to camp again safely. Mountains have a mystery about them, a majesty that beckons us to come and to climb, to experience them in new ways. Another camp, Camp Swatara, which is a Church of Brethren camp near Lebanon, Pennsylvania, have a mountainside with a challenge to come and climb, and it's affectionately known as the rock pile. There's a whole hillside, a mountainside, full of rocks, big boulders, and it's a challenge to climb. But for those that take the challenge and climb, they have a beautiful view of the valley. Mountains have always kind of seemed to pique our interest. While I was working at Hood College, the former president there, Martha Church, had a unique hobby. And as an older woman, it was kind of interesting to know that she enjoyed mountain climbing. And she would often go on quests around the world, even climbing Mount Everest. And she loved mountains, and she had a very large picture of Everest in her home on the campus there at Hood. Mountains have been kind of intriguing to us down through the centuries. In the Old Testament, Moses encountered God when he went up to the mountain, and there he received the Ten Commandments. Later, when the temple was built in Jerusalem, worshipers were said to go up to the mountain. And that's because literally, Jerusalem is on a hill and a mountain, and so you really, as you're getting closer and closer to Jerusalem, you're going up. The scriptures say that the people would say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." In the New Testament, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured on a mountain as they journeyed with him to the top, Mount Tabor, and there they saw his light, the light, the brilliance of his countenance was as they were, he showed himself in his pre-incarnate state. Because of that experience, they were challenged to walk in his paths. The scripture tells us that he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Mountains and light guide us on our ways, and they help us to follow his path. Did you know that there's paths in the sea? We think of paths only in mountains, but there are paths in the sea as well. One day, Matthew Murray was reading his Bible when he caught a verse in Psalms 8 that really grabbed his attention. It said, "And the fish of the sea, and whatsoever pass through the paths of the sea." And so he applied the Bible to his knowledge of the natural world, and he found that there were major currents in the oceans, and he became known as the father of modern navigation. You know, before there was all the electronic technologies that we have today, ship captains would navigate their boats by the paths that were in the sea, the currents, and the lights of the night stars. Navigators who sailed the seas had an expression. It's called keeping the stars. Keeping the stars. And by this they meant that they would chart a course over the waters by observing the positions of the stars in the night sky, the lights in the sky, and they would be able to determine where they were in terms of the ocean, and they kept their eyes on the stars and used them then to navigate their course to their destination. This is a similar concept that Jesus shared with his disciples when he told them to keep his commands. The word that Jesus used here when he told his disciples to keep means keeping the stars. It means to observe, to attend to the commandments, to observe the commandments, to keep the commandments. Jesus' words are fixed lights, if you will, that we can be trust them as guides for us through our paths of life, through the storms that we sometimes face, and help us to stay on the path. Christ's commands are like beacons. There are beacons of light in the night sky that will guide us through the courses of our lives. As his disciples, we are then in turn his lights for others to shine in this dark world. Long ago, in another dark era, God raised up a very bright light, and it was the prophet that we now call as the major prophet, Isaiah. And he was called to preach and to speak to God's people at that time. Isaiah's name means Jehovah is helper, or salvation is of the Lord. This is a major prophet because he has a very large section in the Old Testament. His name also was synonymous with Josiah and Joshua and Jesus. We don't know too much about Isaiah except that he was the son of Amos. And it's very possible that he was a cousin to the king Uriah, and so probably had a very good family and a good education. His wife was a prophetess as well, and they had two sons with symbolic names. Isaiah was a writer, a statesman, a reformer, a teacher, a theologian, and many call him the evangelical prophet. It is through Isaiah that we get this earliest recorded vision of worldwide peace. And so this familiar scripture should be familiar to brethren. Brethren, often one of the tenets of the brethren church is the non-resistance, the pacifism. And so this verse held very closely to brethren hearts. As an artist, Isaiah here shares these now familiar words, very famous words, spoken by him centuries ago. "And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And so Advent for us is a time of peace, when we hear again these hopeful and prophetic phrases of peace on earth, and we look forward to the Prince of Peace to come and to set up his millennium kingdom here on earth. The future house of God will be a bright place of worship for us to go up to. Isaiah saw down through the centuries long ago the light of Christ, and he tells us about that time to come, that thousand-year reign of peace on this planet. I wonder, are you hopeful for it? Are you looking for it? Are you anticipating his coming? Do you long to see that kind of day? A day of justice, a day when peace will prevail, when tools for health and for food will replace our instruments of war, a time of complete international peace and security, unlike any other time in the history of the world. The Antichrist will try to create that, but only Christ is the one to be able to deliver it. As we read on in this chapter of Isaiah, we find that he rebukes the people for turning away from the light and from the path of the Lord. They turn to soothsayers and idols. They rely on pleasure and prosperity. They remove their focus from God to other things and become a religious compromise to those around them. Their land was full of silver and gold and strength of horses and chariots, which they now relied on instead of the Lord. They worshiped these things and they became proud. And this caused God to be sad, to bring judgment upon the nation. It was a dark time. Isaiah's day, very much similar to our day. Thus, it's extremely important for us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. He's the light of the world. He determines the paths for us to walk in. And so we want to look for his light, and we want to walk in his ways, to walk in his paths. Come and let us walk in the light of the Lord, Isaiah says. The Apostle Paul told the Romans long ago, he said, "And do this knowing the time, that now is a high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Paul also told the Ephesians, "For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." We know that the light comes from Christ, and we reflect his light in our lives, just very much like the moon reflects the sun. And so we begin Advent today. We look forward to this Christmas season. Beginning, we see lights going up and white and colored lights here and there and in windows lighting up the night sky. The light reminds us, these lights, Christmas lights, remind us of the true light, the light of Christ. He is the light of Christmas. We also experience something unique tonight, because not only do we start Advent, but we also start Hanukkah. Hanukkah varies from year to year, and tonight at sundown, Hanukkah begins. You might know it as the Festival of Lights, and it runs for 8 days on the Jewish calendar. This is a time that is remembered long ago, when the Maccabees took back the temple had been desecrated. The ruler at that time, trying to get the Jewish people to convert to Greek ways, and took over the temple and sacrificed a pig on the altar. And so you can imagine how upsetting that would have been to religious people of the day. And so a small group took over and, against all odds, took back the temple and rededicated it. And in the course of that, they had enough oil to last one night. Miraculously, God allowed that oil to continue for 8 nights until more sacred oil could be made. And so the temple lantern or light had 7 candles for it, 7 lights of oil. And then, because the oil lasted 8 days, the menorah was created then for celebrations. And you'll see on a menorah, actually 9 spaces, and the middle one is a little bit higher. It's the Shema candle, and you use that candle to light the others. And so tonight, the first candle will be lit, and then tomorrow night, 2 candles will be lit, and then the next night, 3, and so on. And so this is to remind them of the great victory that took place about 100 and 200 years before Christ's time. This was probably the celebration that Jesus had when he was a child. And though it's not recorded in the Old Testament, we find it recorded in the New. Jesus went up to the Feast of Dedication at the time of that event, and he was in the temple and at the columns there at Solomon's porch. And so the scriptures indicate that Jesus celebrated this occasion. And so sometimes Hanukkah can move because of the calendar. Next year it'll be over Christmas Day. And so this is the earliest that it can be in the calendar. And oftentimes it can even run into January, which will be the latest. This year is kind of unique that Advent and Hanukkah began on the same day. Jesus was the light Isaiah saw long ago, and it is the light that we follow today. And it is, I think, significant for us to remember this time as well. Brothers and sisters, as we begin Advent and Hanukkah, I think we want to remember to look to the light. When we see all the festive lights, we want to remember who's behind that. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're called to walk in the light. Now, I don't know how much you remember how dark it can get, but I once toured the caves over at Boone's Bar. And we went down into the caves, you know, and they had some lighting there. And we got to a certain point, and the guide said, "Now we're going to see how dark it gets." And they turned all the lights out. It was literally pitch black. You could not even see your hand in front of your face this close. We need light in order to see. And Jesus is the light. And what comfort it was when the tour guide turned the lights back on and let us out of that cave. You know, it might seem dark, but it's not that dark. And the light shines brightest in a dark room. Even just one light can light up the biggest, darkest room. And Jesus has called us to be that light for him in our world today. You know, we often cry about the commercialization and all the material emphasis that's put on gifts and gift-giving at this time, but we need to remember that Jesus is the light, and we want to point people to the light. And so as we celebrate Christmas, it's not so much Santa coming to town, as it is the light of Christ in our world. The light of Christ is the light of Christmas, and his incarnation is what we are to celebrate. You know, he never told us to celebrate his birthday. What he told us to do was to remember his death. He told us to remember the bread and the cup. That is what we're to remember. We're to remember his sacrifice. So Jesus is the light. And as we light this first candle over here in our Advent wreath, another tradition has come down through the centuries. It is a symbol of hope. And I think when you're going through a dark time and you see the light at the end of the tunnel, it gives you hope, right? There's hope that things are going to be different. There's a better day coming. And so, along with our Jewish neighbors, we want to remember, as we light candles, as we turn on our Christmas lights, that this is a season of joy and hope and love. And we want to remember that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." And we're called to be his lights. And so I want to encourage you today to go to walk in that light, to reflect that light, to share that light with others, and to continue to stay on the path, follow the ways that God has set for you. Continue to allow Him to lead and guide you. And we will trust that God has a better purpose in store. You know, we're looking forward to His coming again. And as all the signs continue to point to us, so hopefully you've been following David Jeremiah here, and today it was about globalism. We see all these things taking place around us, but we know that He is the light, and He is coming again. And it's going to be a great time, a wonderful time. Not something that we need to fear, but something we look forward to. God is coming, and we want our world to be ready. We want you to be ready to celebrate the hope, to share the love, and to enjoy each other and the joy of the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus is that light. He's the light of the world. Jesus is the light of Christmas. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you for this season of Advent and Hanukkah. We rejoice again in the birth of your Savior as we see in the Christmas lights around us. Help us not only to see the light, but to walk in your path. Help us, Lord, to point others in the right direction. May we reflect the light of Jesus in our lives and be lights that are not hid under a bushel. Lord, help us to keep our attention on you, to focus on your commands, to await your millennial reign, to rejoice in your goodness. Prince of Peace, come. Come and bring peace to everyone in every area of our lives. You are the hope of ages. It's in you that we pray and trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service here with hymn number 92. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Praise God from you. All blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here.
Merry Christmas.